Blog Talk Radio. I just want to praise you, Lord. Welcome to They Overcame, a radio broadcast or a blog talk radio. We just came. We know that we're here to give God the glory, to give God the honor, and he so deserves our honor and our glory. We just bless him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Just thank you. Just thank you. We want to thank and praise God for another day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, thank you for joining us today, and we want to tell you about an awesome ministry that we are under the umbrella of New Destiny Ministries with Evangelist Adrienne Bernard. She is doing a awesome, mighty work for the Lord. And on this week, she has been going through the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and it's been powerful. If you weren't able to listen in, you should go to the archives and listen to the ministry. It's just New Destiny Ministry. Awesome, awesome, awesome. She had a mighty man of God on yesterday, and he was just, I'm not sure of his title, Bishop Singleton, and just an awesome, awesome man of God. Also, those of you that are listening over the internet, we invite you to call in and give us your testimonies. God is doing great things in these last days. He's blessing and bringing us out and doing miraculous signs and wonders in our lives. And somebody needs to hear that. Somebody needs to hear what God is doing for you, for encouragement, for them, for the uplifting of heads. And, you know, that's why we're here. We're here to give God praise and give him glory and honor. Our theme comes from the book of Revelation, where it says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. We have his testimony. It's written, but our testimony, the Bible says that we are read of men. We are written epistles, read of men. We're walking around and we're able to open our mouths. Yes, we can give our testimonies to our friends, or if your church still has testimony service, you can give your testimony there. But this is heard worldwide, and someone in another country that you would never have the opportunity to speak to may need to hear the things that God is doing for you to encourage them. So we just say, if you have a testimony, no testimony is too small. Everything God does is good, and everything needs to be heralded across the airwaves. The number is 858-683-1334. Again, that call-in number is 858-683-1334. And I just bless God for having my honey here with me, and he is an awesome man of God, and God is doing great things in his lives and in our lives, and we just thank God for just the opportunity for him to be here. He's not here with me every week, but he was able to be here today, so I just thank God for him. And have something to say. Before you pray.
Lord, just thank God for being here and be a part of this broadcast once again, because we just know and believe that it is ordained of God, and we know it to be a blessing to the kingdom of Christ. This is just an awesome opportunity to hear positive words. We know that this is a time that there's so much negativity in the world, so many negative situations to deal with in our everyday lives, but the thing is that we serve a positive God who is doing positive things and wonderful things in the lives of his people. And sometimes we just need to understand that we're not the only ones going through. So I just thank God for this broadcast that gives an opportunity for those who have gone through to testify of their victory, and for those who are yet going through to hear the testimonies of those who have already been victorious, just letting you know that whatever God has done for any of his children, he'll do it for all of his children. He has no favorites. He loves us all, and he gives us, just according to his riches, the blessings that we need to overcome whatever the situation, the strength to endure while we're going through, and even just gives words of wisdom to those who have gone through, wisdom and encouragement, those words. And we just thank God for this opportunity to be a part of that. And let's just look to the Lord that we know that he has blessed this and ordained this program, but let's just pray his blessings be manifest this day on this show. In the name of Jesus, Father, we love you. We praise you. We look to you. Hallelujah. We just magnify your holy name because you are awesome. You are mighty. You are great in our lives, Lord God, as we look back and see all the things that you have done for us. As a matter of fact, Lord, if it, we know and realize that if it had not been for you on our side, that we would just not even be here of sound mind. We would not be alive, some of us, but you have brought us through. You kept our mind. You kept our peace. You kept us in our homes. You kept us, Lord God, from so many perils. And we just thank you and we praise you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we just ask you that everything that you've done for us just be brought back to our remembrance. For Lord, sometime when it seems like there's just no way out and we're just not going to make it anymore, but Lord God, just bring back to our remembrance, as you said that the Holy Ghost would do for us, bring all things back to our remembrance so that we will understand that every problem that we've had, we have come out because of your glory, because of your power, because of your faithfulness, because the peace that you've given us, Lord God, and you've given us so many different things and different words and different examples, and just you've given us what we need, Lord God, to overcome, and we thank you for that. And Lord God, even when we forget and when we don't realize what we have and when we seem to fail or fall down, you're right there to hold us up. And Lord God, you send angels to catch us unless we fall and dash our foot against a stone. You just take care of us, Lord God, and we thank you for that. We thank you for this day, this broadcast, every person that is listening today, every person that will join in later, every person that will hear through the archives, we just pray your blessing upon them. Let the words that come through this broadcast be words of life and deliverance and victory for them. In the name of Jesus, that they too will have a mighty testimony because of the words that are spoken today. In the name of Jesus, let your blood cover every home. Let your blood cover, Lord God, our nation. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray your blessing on the situation with our gun control in this country. We know what our leaders want to do, the ones that are concerned about the country. And Lord God, we just pray that you undertake in that situation and begin to turn the hearts of men and of kings and of leaders, Lord God, because we know their heart is in your hand. In the name of Jesus, let there be salvation, Lord God, that even comes out of this situation, that this nation will turn to you. And even if the nation doesn't, Lord God, that individuals that you have called into the kingdom, that this will be a catapult for them to come into your kingdom. Give up their lives right now for the life of the kingdom. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, we thank you and we praise you. Amen.
Amen. Awesome prayer. So I'm so happy that you're here again. I have one caller on the line. I know that that is Evangelist Adrienne Bernard, and I'm going to give her a chance to say something if she would like to. I did talk about her awesome broadcast and how the Lord is just blessing, and they had fellowship. I didn't get a chance to hear the broadcast because I was not able to, but the part that I heard, they were talking about divine connections. And they were in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, but they were talking about divine connections, and it just sounds like they had a glorious time. I haven't had a chance to go and listen to the archives, but I'm going to listen to them, and I invite you to listen to them also. And Sister Adrian, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here this morning. Good morning, Minister Burns and Elder Burns. God bless you all this morning.
God is good. I was just talking about your broadcast and how I didn't get a chance to hear the words of the Lord, but just the fellowship afterwards. And just, you know, God is just good to us. And even the young lady that we talked with after the broadcast and how she wants to promote the kingdom of God, that's at a young age, that's awesome. That's awesome that she would even desire to do that. You know, that young people have their minds going so many different ways. We don't live in a simple world that we lived in when we were that age. Things were not as accelerated as they are now. But as in the natural, so is it in the Spirit. So even in God's kingdom, things are being accelerated. Would you agree with that, Evangelist?
Yes, ma'am. I tell you guys, really, just as you said, things are so modern, so accelerated, and all of the different tools that I say God has provided us with it, because we could not do the wonderful technology and communication that is presently available to us now without the wisdom and the knowledge from God. So God is the one that gives wisdom and knowledge to men and women to get his work done. And I'm just amazed that, you know, we couldn't have done this 10, 15 years ago. You know, it was pretty difficult to try to raise money to get airtime and advertise and what have you. But God is opening up these airways and he's opening up new avenues for us to travel on where we can spread this gospel. And I'm just reminded every day that the scripture says this gospel will have been preached to every creature. So if no one that will be able to stand before God and accuse him of being unjust, unrighteous, cruel, harsh, just uncompassionate. You know, God is a passionate God. He's a loving God. He's an understanding God. He's a wise God. So, you know, he's removing the excuses, Elder Burns and Minister Burns. And I tell you, this is the most exciting and wonderful time to get busy doing something for the Lord. You know, many times we set our goals and we have expectations of where we would like to be with our families and our careers and what have you. And I look at folks sometimes, you know, even those that have been successful in the secular realm, you know, and God has blessed them to have beautiful careers and what have you. Many times you don't even hear these people even say thank you, Jesus. You never hear them give God no accolades. You know, it's all about their talents and their gifts and, you know, their abilities. But I tell you, if it was not for the Lord who was on our side, I truly don't know where we would even be today. And, you know, as just piggybacking on what you said about the young lady on yesterday, you know, we were on the phone. We just called you for a brief moment. But we wind up being on the phone for maybe over an hour with you, Bill, and I was on off and on with her and just was amazed, you know, of her talent, you know, where she could take this computer and take a simple picture and create it into a art that, you know, you really can't even fathom. You're like, wow, you know, and all of these little gadgets on Facebook where you can just invite and do other things on there to make your ministry and to, not to make, but to have your ministry looking as, you know, you're doing something fantastic, which we are doing something fantastic. And I take my hat off and salute Elder Burns and yourself this morning for taking on this venture to open up these lines where people can come and give a testimony and what have you. And sometimes, you know, the lines are not lit up, but as long as you know you are pursuing and you're doing what God has put in your heart to do, that's the greatest satisfaction you could ever have. Because if nobody, you know, the Bible says there's two or three touching and agreeing, God will be in the midst. And so with just your husband and yourself opening up these lines, we still don't know who's listening live on the internet, and we're not able to see those stats until after the broadcast is over. But I tell you, people are surfing this net, Minister Burns, 24/7. We don't know who's on the edge. We don't know who's thinking and contemplating suicide. We don't know who's going through in their families, in their churches, you know, and in their homes. But God is on this line 24/7 looking for a word, trying to hear something that would cause them to change their mind where they have another thought about, hey, ending it. Amen. So yes. I'm just excited about what God is doing. And, you know, at this stage in my life, and as the young people say, at this stage in the game, I don't have time to tolerate any foolishness. You know, we almost hitting 60, and you think, you know, you at that age, you would have overcome folks, and I mean all this negative vibes that people put out. You have to know who you are and pursue the call that God has placed on your life. Everybody, there's different callings in the body, and there are different administrations in the body. So it's so much work to do for the kingdom that none of us should be stepping on one another's toes. The Bible says provoke one another to godly jealousy. So even that, sometimes we go a little bit too far. But I tell you, you know, if you have some ever desire in your heart and you really want to get busy and promote this gospel, there's so much you can do. There's so much you can do. Come out of our four walls. And, you know, Billy and I, we were doing ADT in Atlanta, and we would go door to door. We would cherry pick and see who's home when we're out in the field, you know, to tell them about the home security and what have you. And I just talked about that, Billy. And, you know, that is the type of aggressiveness we need to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, give them a track. Let them know where we go to church. Let them know that we are sincerely serving the Lord. But, you know, nobody want to take that kind of stand. Ella Burns, I think we're ashamed of the gospel today. We're ashamed to tell people that we love the Lord. We're ashamed to get out and get a bullhorn and tell them Jesus. We're ashamed of that. But I'm reminded of a man down in the Montgomery, Bishop Leo Lewis. Honey, he ain't scared to pull out his bullhorn. He's not scared to go down into the inner city and proclaim this gospel. And that's what we have to do, Ella Burns and Minister Burns. We have to not be ashamed, and we have to go back to some of those early tools and mechanisms that we would use to spread this gospel. You know, invite people over to your home and ask them, can you come in their home and teach a Bible class? And, you know, there is so much work that needs to be done. The Bible says the harvest is ripe, but the labor's of few. So we're looking for God to just do some great things, and we're looking for him to give us the energy, and we're looking. Sometimes we get sidetracked because we know it takes money to buy land, but it don't take money to tell somebody that Jesus lives. It don't take money to tell somebody that God can transform their lives and take them to a place. As I listened to that young man last week on Minister Burns, a segment, they overcame, and he began to talk about how he was out in the street selling drugs at a young age and just ripping and running, doing all kind of damnable things. But now he's in seminary. Hallelujah. He's a youth pastor, and he's spreading the gospel. And then the week before that, she had her own son on, a Jonathan, and, you know, and he talked about how God is doing something in his life, how he's working with the young kids at his church and what have you. I tell you, we can't give up on our children, you know, and the Bible says train them up in the way that they should go, and when they get old, they won't depart. So while they're young, they're gonna do little crazy things that upset us and disturb us. But you got to know that word that you have instilled in them, Elder Burns and Sister Burns, that word will come alive in their life. And all we got to do is keep laboring with them. All we have to do is keep them under the blood of Jesus. And I tell you, sooner or later, they will come around. I didn't come into this thing until I was 30 years old. So guess what? I'm going to feed my grandchildren alone. I'm going to leave my niece alone. And if it takes till they get 30, God bless you. But I know one thing, that the Bible told me in Acts 1:8, that the promise is to me in Acts 2:38-39, the promise is to me, it's unto my children and to all that are called, as many as the Lord thy God should call. So I'm still covered by children. I'm still covering my family under the blood, baby, because guess what? The blood has never lost its power. It still goes into the Lord's valley. It still reaches to the highest mountain. So, excuse me, I'm looking for the Lord to continue to do the work that he has begun in us. So I'm just excited. I'm excited. Don't be discouraged, Minister Burns. Ella Burns, you all just keep on looking to Jesus. I tell you, because guess what? Payday is coming after a while, and we know Jesus is going to, and we know when he comes, hey, we got to be ready. And so I'm working out my own soul salvation. I don't worry about folks no more, honey. They can say whatever they want to say. As long as my life is pleasing to the Lord, that's my employer. And that's the one I'm trying to please. And I know if I please him, everything else is going to be pleasant and everything else is going to be lovely. So that's my goal. This year, 2013, honey, I'm taking the limits off and everything. I'm standing on this word because God promises are yea and amen. And that means yes to anything you want to do. That means yes to whatever God put in your heart to do. And guess what? When he sealed it with that amen, hey, can't nobody revoke that. Can't nobody change that. Nobody can alter that. When God say amen, it's done, baby. It's a done deal. So God bless you all. We love you today.
Oh, we love you. And we just want to acknowledge we did receive our certificates on this week, and we were so surprised when we opened up the envelope and saw that you had sent us, and it was totally unnecessary, but thank you for acknowledging. And we're going to frame them and put them up in our office when we get
them. Oh, God. You know, I ask everybody that have listened to this broadcast, and those, of course, the speakers that have spoken on this broadcast, to send me their mailing address and email me their mailing address. And I just wanted, the Lord just put that in my heart in December, because we're in February now. He put that in my heart to just do a certificate of appreciation and let the people know how much we appreciate them, because they don't have to tune into these broadcasts. They don't have to listen. And even the speakers, Minister Burns, they come on as a courtesy. And because of their love for the Lord, they come on and share this gospel and preach and teach the word. And we don't have money to pay them. But I'm looking, as I said yesterday, I'm looking in the future, and I'm looking real soon that God is going to put funds into this ministry where we will be able to send a little speaker's offering to the speakers. Amen. So I just, that was just something God put in my heart. I said, Lord, we have impacted over 24,000 souls in 12 months. That's a great accomplishment. And I just want to let you all know how much we love you all and appreciate you. So I had to send you all that along with the little program. And I don't know if I put the business card in there or what have you, but I wanted you all to know that, you know, I appreciate the sacrifice you're making. This is time when you can sleep a little longer and communicate with your husband or your children a little bit longer on Saturday, but you have made a sacrifice to come on this line and open it up where people can hear the wonderful testimonies of lives that have been transformed. So that in itself is worth a certificate of appreciation. It's worth me saying thank you. Amen?
Amen. Well, we appreciated it. It's a beautiful certificate, and your color is red. You love red.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. We, as you were talking, the Lord dropped in my spirit that, you know, we, in the times that we're living in, we have to know. You know, we used to sing a song, it escapes me now, but about our Savior and how he comes to save us. And I know I'm messing it up, but anyway, we still have to let people know in this perilous time that we're living in. The young lady that sang the national anthem, I think it was from Chicago, was killed on last week, not this week, but on last weekend. They've had it on the internet, her parents and her brother and young. She was a beautiful young lady, and I didn't hear her. Did you hear about that, Adrian?
No, what was that, for the inauguration?
Yes. Yes.
No, I didn't see all of the inaugurations.
I heard
a lot of Blackwood about Beyonce lifting it. I didn't hear the other young lady.
Well, I think that she was in the program. I don't think that she was, you know, actually there for the you know, when he did the swearing in, the public swearing in, because he had sworn in the day before. But, you know, I was just thinking, I received a email from someone, and it was I don't know if it was undercover, not undercover, but it's not been publicized. But, you know, our president is under such attack, and this was a hateful email that was sent to me. Not the person that sent it to me was hateful, but it was talking about how they're getting ready to indict President Obama and how he has
indicted him for what?
They wouldn't say, but it's not on the national news. It's not something. This is something that is some kind of internet something. And I just said, Lord, I wouldn't even listen to the rest of it. I listened to some of it, and I said, our president, our world, we are under such attack. It's frightening, but yet we know that God is in control. No man is in control of this. And Pastor R.D. Hinton out of Chicago would always say that the devil is just God's messenger, and he can't say anything more than God allows him to say. He can't do anything God does not allow him to do. We just have to know in whom we believe, and we have to believe that he is on our side. As Jeremiah 29:11 says, I've been listening to a lot of, or reading a lot of different versions we have. We in the information age right now. You know, we can get information for anything that we want, and now we have all of these different versions of the Bible, and the Message Bible, which I think is a new version. I've never heard of it before. Have you heard of it before, Evangelist?
The Message Bible?
Yes.
The Message Bible?
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. It's very powerful. It's a different version, but it breaks it down and just gives it to you all, plain and simple.
Yes, yes. And it says, I know what I'm doing, and I have it all planned out. I said, Lord, I thank you that you have everything under control, and you put it in your word so that I can know. I remember years ago I was looking at one of the ministries, and this lady was saying that her husband had died, and she was pretty destitute, and she just didn't know what to do. And she said the scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, and I didn't hear all of it, so I had to search the scripture. I said, Lord, I need that one. I searched the scriptures, and I was able to find it, you know, and it says that in the King James, I think, no, in the NIV, it said God gives you a hope, and I don't have it in front of me, but his plans for us, he has the master plan, and I'm so glad that I'm in the hands of a loving God that loves me, and no matter what's going on around me, I know that he is in control, and that he's the one that says, try my servant. That used to scare me, Evangelist. That used to scare me to think about me being, I remember the Lord had given my husband and I the book of Job to read. And I was like, I don't want to read that book. You know, much misery and so much pain. But then when you get to the end, God left them. He let them know, first of all, they say that Job didn't complain, but I guess they haven't read that book, because Job complained in that book. He complained, and he even wanted to die. He didn't want to kill himself. He talked about his birth, you know, and, you know, it was a sorrowful day. But in the end, hallelujah, God gave him more than he had before. Just by going through that test, you know, just by being faithful to God. And God does not expect us to go through and not say anything. It's in there. I was telling God, I said, Lord, you have designed us to go through things, and as we go through them, you know, our children are dear to our hearts. And I said, and my son is going through something now, and I said, Lord, it's just been a real trying time for me. And then I started examining myself, and I said, but Lord, you made the lioness, that's what came to me, to protect her children. You made the chick, even talks about the hen, gathering her children under their wings. I said, so you expect for me to be concerned. The enemy was trying to make me, thank you, Lord, make me think that I was not trusting God because I've been so concerned about my son. But the Lord dropped my spirit, and I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You know what's in me. And as I was telling you on last week, Evangelist, that I want God to expose everything. Don't let nothing be hidden in me, because when he calls me home, I want to be able to say, I worked on that. I don't want nothing to be able to keep me out of the kingdom. I worked on that, Lord. You let me know, and I worked on it. And with the help of the Lord, not in my own strength, hallelujah. We can't do anything in our own strength. That's our problem. We've been trying to do it on our own. I was listening to TV ministries, and they were saying how the devil has caused us to say, well, I've tried everything else. Let me try God. No, that's wrong. And if that's your thought processes, then let me help you right now. God said, come to me. He said, put your burdens on me. He said, take my burden, because my burdens are light. Take my burdens up. I thank God for the word of God. Hallelujah. And I see I have a caller on, and so I'm going to open the line up to this caller. But don't go anyplace, Evangelist. We'll talk a little more. Okay?
Okay.
And I have a caller on the area code 832. Caller, are you there? 832
yes.
Is the area code.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor. I was just enjoying your words of wisdom, and that, yes, you know, I don't try to complain. I don't try to complain. Sometimes I do because I'd be in pain, but I just enjoy the Lord, and I say, God, you know what I want. You know what I need. That's what it is. You know what I need. And I thank you. I thank you, and I praise your name. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for helping me where you have helped me. He took me out of the lion's den, that's for sure. I'm climbing my mountain.
Let me have your name.
My name is Doris.
Doris. Oh, okay, Doris from Texas. I see you.
Yeah.
How are you this day?
I'm doing good. God is good. He's working it out. He really is.
Okay.
Trust
him, Doris. He just wants us to believe in him, and, you know that he is the one, he's the author and the finisher of our faith. And not only is he the author and the finisher, because, you know, when a book goes out, the author doesn't go with it. Mm, hallelujah.
Right.
But God is there with us through every test, through every trial. He's there to gird us up and say, you can do it. Come on, daughter, you can do it. You can do it. I wouldn't put more on you than you're able to bear. But sometimes, you know, we go through stuff. The Bible says that we go through a fire to refine us.
Mm.
So you're being refined. Every time we go through a fire, you know, when you put gold in the fire, it is being purified. And every time it goes through the fire and it's melted down, the minerals and other things that keep it from being pure are being sifted out. So every time we do something, you know, and it's for God's glory, because somebody else is going through the same thing, and they may need to hear what you have to say, you know, what God for you to encourage. So hold on, my sister. God is faithful, and he is a just God, and he loves us. That's the most important thing. We say, I love God, I love God. I say, Lord, thank you for loving me.
Yes.
Thank you for loving me.
Yes. I just praise him. I wish I was in a better position to help the relatives. God has opened my eyes, and I when I was first seeing things in the spirit, and I was asking people, and they wouldn't tell me. They had to find out on my own. I had to talk to the Jewish people. I had to go around and talk to the Buddhist people. I had to talk just to get an answer. And I found out, talking to my family, that there's people in my family who could see as well. We see differently.
Okay.
And I was saying, to the ones who I couldn't reach or couldn't talk to, the ones in a different state, I would say, I was calling the ones who was Christians, who was active in their church, who was maybe over the finances or some, you know. And I said, how can you leave that cousin out and don't tell her why the devil's attacking her? I said, when I talked to the Jewish person, she said, all seers are prophets, but not all prophets are seers. And I said, and the devil attacks them so hard because they don't know why they're seeing what they're seeing. They don't know why they're seeing angels and demons and devils sitting on their stomach at night. I said, how can you, as a Christian, how can you just leave them out there and just talk about them like a dog? You're talking about them because they're seeing stuff, but you don't let them know that this is in your family. This is your family history, just like in the Bible. In the Bible, it says the man had all his daughters were prophetess. They was all in the same blood. They was all in the same family. Do you remember that scripture?
I'm not familiar with it, honey. Do you know that scripture?
I think it was Paul, and it was talking about Paul. He went to the man's house. But the prophetess didn't say anything. The men, another prophet came to him and took off his belt and bind himself with it and told him that he would be, when he left that house and went to a particular place, he would be bound.
Okay. I remember that story.
Okay, in that same book, it talks above that, it talks about the man, all his daughters were prophetess. Within that same section.
Okay.
And
are you familiar with that? You handled with Adrian. Are you familiar with that?
I'm bad at quoting scripture. and then I noticed that my niece could see too, and she's like 12 or whatever, and I was saying, how can you don't teach your family that this is in your family, and that they, the ones who don't understand God, know that this is, God is calling you. And I forgot where I was going with this. I apologize, Minister.
Okay,
I really do.
sometimes we are a little hesitant to talk to our family because your family knows you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes if you, and I'm not saying that they're not, but sometimes if they're not living all that God has called them to be, then they're not ashamed of the gospel, but know that their family knows them. And so I can try to say, they're not going to hear me. You got, and that's the enemy. That's mm-hmm. that's what ultimately keeps them from saying something. But my former pastor, the late Robert Baguette, pastor, Subkin Bishop, Robert Baguette, and he used to say that preachers beget preachers, as in the natural, doctors beget doctors, as in the natural, lawyers beget lawyers. And so that's something that's a legacy in my family.
Acts 21:9.
Acts 21:9. Did you get
yes, ma'am.
Okay. I have a legacy of ministers and pastors in my family, and my sons have ministry. Of course, they don't want to preach, but as my one son, who has preached his first sermon, said, God is going to get out of you what he put in you, so you can run, but you sure can't hide. God is going to get it out of you. So, because you have been given, it sounds like, the assignment to let them know what's happening. If God gives each of us different assignments, and your assignment may be to let them know what's happening. You know, you ask God for wisdom. Don't rebuke. The Bible says not to rebuke an elder. So don't rebuke them. Just do what you can to let them know. You know, if they don't know, you let them know what's happening.
Yeah. You know how, you know, each generation, like you might have four sons and they have four sons, and it's because of the anointing that's on your life. It's passed through the seed to your children, and then as they separate, you know, through generations, they separate, and the one to the far left don't realize, don't remember you. You know, it went down, they don't remember you. You understand what I'm saying? It's just go ahead, I'm sorry.
The Bible says that there was a Pharaoh that there became a Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph, and that's when the people of Israel were enslaved because he became afraid of them. So yes, I understand exactly what you're saying.
And
they don't know.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I find that in families, they don't know who they are. We don't know who we are. It's just like, and I start asking about. And that's true. And I started asking about this, my family on my father's side. My oldest aunt, the oldest daughter of my grandfather, left from her birthplace, and because God had called her to be a minister. And now she was born in 18 something. She went to California, and she was the only one out of all 20 kids of my grandfather who became a minister. And I looked at her children. She only had one daughter, and her daughter had kids. Of those kids, the worst one became a minister at the end.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
From out of those my aunt's grandkids, she has four ministers in her family. Her four ministers they run their own church.
Okay.
And I look at the rest of them. Who did not answer the call, I had another aunt who can see in the spirit and knew what her kids were doing when they was doing it. She didn't have to be told what they was doing. She already knew. And I said, wow, this is really, I said, how come nobody ever talks about this? Why do I have to go and ask? They don't want to talk about it. And out of her kids, she has the grandchild who's confused and sees in the spirit and the devil's attacking her, and she's seeing them three demonic hooded people, and I'm letting her know. I say, that's the demon, devil attacking you. But once I start talking like that, they don't want me to say nothing else. They don't want me to talk to the girl. They want her to just be out there in the, they just want her to be out there by herself struggling and fighting the devil and don't understand how, you know. I'm not saying I know how to understand, but she needs a covering, and that she needs to find a church with a proper covering. And that's what I'm trying to get to her, that this is what this is. It may not be the church you attend. You need to find a church who understands spiritual warfare, understand that you have a calling on your life, and they can help you. You know, somebody who's not be scared of that you God has chosen you for this particular assignment, and that's not intimidated that you've been the gift that, from birth that you was given, that God is anointing you to raise you up higher in his kingdom.
Right.
Do I sound like a heretic? I'm sorry.
No, but then it sounds like God has given you the assignment of covering her. They may not let you talk to her, but you can. Prayer changes things. Doris, you will be in prayer with you. Prayer changes things, and the enemy wants you to get upset and feel like there's nothing you can do. As a matter of fact, I'm going to talk about that. I've started doing this awesome 40-day fast from thoughts that are wrong, from wrong thoughts. That's the fast. It's Gregory Dickow. If you have internet, you can join it yourself. Gregory Dickow. It's DICKOW.org. And the first day of that, is there any hope? Is there any hope? You know, that's what people are saying because of the time that we're living in Chicago. I'm from Chicago. There's no hope. There's no hope. The young lady, did you hear about the young lady that was shot, that was killed? That saying, yes. And it seems like a hopeless situation. But the ruler of the air wants us to think that we have a hopeless situation and nothing can help us. There is hope for your cousin because God has let you know what's happening with her. You cover her with prayer every day, and you ask God to send someone in her path that will be able to guide her and direct her. And then you cover her with ministering angels that can minister to her, bind the hand of the enemy so that they will not have control over her, because it's so close, the evil and good, that if the wrong person gets a hold of her, then that gift can be turned for the enemy. And that's what his ultimate goal is. And that's why your family does not want you to talk to her, because of the influence of the enemy. And not saying that they're, you know, not in saved or they're not in the church, but sometimes we are guided and we don't even know that we're being guided by the enemy. We're in church every day. It's different day to be church over there. But we are still influenced by the enemy and being influenced by his thought processes that he puts in our heads. So you just keep covering her with the blood and covering her so that the enemy cannot get, you know, a foothold. God allowed you to know that, even to seek out your family history because that it's not you, Doris, it's God pushing you to that. Do you understand that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, it's yes. God pushing you so. You know that, right?
Yes, he's pushing me. I'm sorry, I get, you know, that's a... I didn't feel like, I didn't want to sound like I was a heretic or, you know, out there.
No, absolutely not, absolutely not. We understand that the enemy, you know, I love the different television ministries and, you know, my former pastor used to say, eat the meat and throw the bones away. So everything that I hear, you know, does not get into my spirit, and I ask God to let only things that he wants me to come in, you know. So anyway, and the pastor was saying how we in this fast from thoughts that are wrong. He was saying that we have to train ourselves. We have to train ourselves because of all of the wrong things that are happening out in the world. And so that's what this 40-day of fast is. And, you know, I can't think the wrong things.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe the wrong things. I can't look at what's around me. The Bible says, look unto the hill from whence coming your help. And that's the King James Version, but that's what I was raised on. I do use other Bibles. But the King James is the one that I quote because that's the one that I guess that's in me. But anyway, it said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So we have to look at Jesus and not be who as Peter was when he did that walking on the water. He had faith to get there, get out the boat and walk on the water. But then he took his eyes off of Jesus, and we're coming in a time where that's key for the saints of God, where we have to not look to the left, not look to the right, but look unto Jesus and know that he has everything under control. He has everything under control. So if we seek him first and his kingdom, the things that we get so wrapped up in material things, and not that we shouldn't have material things, but when we seek God, he said, everything that we need, everything, maybe not everything that we want, but everything we need will be added unto us. So just, you know that God has you there, accept the assignment, and go forth in it. And what church, are you in a good church yourself?
I'm in the, yes, I'm in a church. I'm in a prophetic church, and God has, he sent me there. I'm sitting in there. But I noticed that he wants me there because in the description, I don't know if you're a seer or not, but, you know, it talks about the Bible constantly, about the light. And so when the God is sending the light down from heaven, because it used to be I was scared because kids could see that light. You know, they used to say, oh, you shine it, you know. And so now I'm saying, God, well, you say do not cover your light. So I let the light shine, even if they can see it or not. And he showed me, and so when I was talking to him as we was in the music ministry was going on, and I was just talking to him and thanking him, and then he showed me something new. He showed me when we had a prophetic section in the ministry where they come and prophesy something into the church or whatever. God showed me the angels coming down and touching each one, and I knew who was going to talk before they talked, because I could see the angels behind them with their hands on these ministers' shoulders. And I just thought, mm-hmm. I was just thanking God for showing me that, because I never seen that before. And I said, oh, hallelujah, you know. And it was just one that seemed to have more authority. And this one had a crown on it. This angel had a crown on it. And this was the lady who was the shyest of all of them. She was the shyest and the meekest of all of them. And just before I went in, I was hearing something that said God would use the weird or the humble to confuse the wise. You know, he would use those simple people to confuse the wise. And this is the meekest lady, and I knew, I'm not quoting it right, I'm sorry. And she didn't say nothing. I'm seeing this gigantic angel above all the other angels with this crown on his head, and she didn't say what she had to say. And somehow I ended up leaving out during the ministry. I left out to go to the bathroom, and she was out there. And God has a way of making me go say what I have to say. And I said, I asked the lady, I said, didn't you have something to say before pastor had said something? She said, yeah, but the other lady had said something to the, it was one particular lady that God was talking to that day. And I said, well, I said, you were supposed to say what you had to say because whoever had more authority, it's like you had authority of what you coming up was coming out of your mouth as opposed to just the revelation angels. I said, you were supposed to say something. She said, well, I'm shy and I'm new and I'm afraid. You know, I said, well, I'm letting you know that you were supposed to say what you had to say. So do not say what you have to say. And she said, I appreciate you for telling me that. And I said, oh, no problem. I just, you know, wanted you to know that this, you had something. I can't explain it. I hope I'm explaining it well. And then I walked back and went back and sat down. And it was just like, I noticed that the next guy who was speaking, the room went dark. The room went dark in the chapel. It was like, before it was bright, it was lively, it was angels. And all of a sudden, when this new guy started talking, it was dark. And I know that, he showed me something else this Sunday. He said it was the fact that because you produce your light, the person with the demonic force in them, they would think of you as like you was had leprosy or something. They would put their nose up at you, and they would just walk from you, and they would frown up at you because this man I had never met before ever in my life. And I would just went, after the service, I went to shake his hand. He refused to shake my hand and refused to look at me, and he just walked on back. He walked on. You know how somebody disgusts you? That's how he looked at me, like I disgust him. And I was not offended. I said, thank you, Lord, for not letting me be offended. Thank you for showing me this. I couldn't figure out for years why people would put their nose up at me or look at me in disgust, and I hadn't done anything to these people. And it was just because when you're producing the light of God, even if you see it or not, people with demonic forces in them can't stand that light, and they don't even want to look at you.
Yeah, that's true. I'm sorry. Honey, did you want to say my husband wants to say something?
Oh, go ahead.
Is that Sister Doris, is it?
Yes, sir.
God bless you. I just wanted to give you some words of encouragement as well. I know that my wife earlier referred to a scripture in Jeremiah, and I've located that, and I think it's just very appropriate as I listen to you and your concern, even about seems like those family members that you know that God has a call on their lives, and how that is just not being either communicated to them or cultivated. But let me just share the scripture with you for them and for you. This is in Jeremiah 29, starting at verse 11, where God says, "For I know," and I'm reading out of the NIV version, "For I know the plans I have for you." This is God saying, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And then I like this part that starts in verse 12. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me. It goes on to say, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back from captivity. And what I really like how that says that, you know, it doesn't suggest to whoever it is to seek the Lord or to come to me and pray. It doesn't even command us to come to him, seek him and pray. But is God declaring that those who he has plans for, God is declaring that they will call upon him and come to him and pray, and that he will listen, they will seek, and they will find him as they seek with all their heart, because he has commanded that that will be the case, and to bring us back from captivity. Also, I think my wife was mentioning how we were looking at the book of Job, and I don't know if you're tuned in at that point, but one of the things that Job was a phenomenal man, and my observation was that I don't know how many more Jobs there are, were, or will be, or even will need to be, because Job had a place that God used him for as an example, both as a showcase for Satan of how powerful God's grace and the integrity of those who receive God's grace are. But one of the things that Job did is that he, knowing that his children may or may not be in a place that they should be, may not be in an attitude that they should be, may or may not be doing the things that they should be doing, he interceded for them constantly. He made sacrifices, he prayed, and while those relatives may not be your children per se, but as your blood, we are concerned about our family. We want the best for our family. So just be encouraged that God knows the plans he has for them, and he'll make it come to pass. Just continue to be in prayer for them, interceding for them. When you have an opportunity to minister to them, then, amen, take that opportunity. And if that opportunity seems not to present itself, you can still minister to them through prayer. And because, again, God knows the plans he has. So, you know, don't fret because you think that some other member should be saying some things that they aren't. Just let God be in control, because he is in control. And when it all comes out, they will be exactly what God wants them to be. They will do exactly what God wants them to do, because he knows and he's in control.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen, amen. So, Dora, you did? Okay, you, but you, we're going to pray for her. Honey, let's say a word of prayer for Dora.
God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for our sister Doris, and we thank you for her love and just fire for the things of the kingdom. Father, in Jesus' name, we just pray that you will just keep her mind, Lord God, and let her see, just as the prophet prayed to you for his understudy to see angels that are warring on their behalf so that he would no longer be afraid. Lord, we ask that you just let Doris see that things are working. Things are working and that you've got this and that every situation is just under your control. Let there be peace, because you said in your word has declared that you will keep our minds in perfect peace. You will keep us in perfect peace if our minds are stayed on you. And we just thank you for the focus that she has on the things of your kingdom, and let the peace that comes from that focus or staying on you just be manifest in her life. And let there be joy, let there be a rejoicing, and then, Lord God, just place her in that realm that you have for her, that she will just be used of you, a vessel of honor in your kingdom. We thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. I just want to, I was telling the caller earlier about a fast from wrong thinking, and as time permits, each week I'm going to be, it's 40 days, I'm going to be giving a little excerpt of what I'm doing, what I'm doing from the lessons, the 40-day fast, from the 40-day fast. And the first day is a fast from the heart that there is no hope. The first, I guess, thought is see hope as a gift. Jeremiah 29:11 says, God gives you hope. It's a gift. It's not earned or deserved. It's not earned or deserved. When hope seems lost, just ask for this precious gift. God is so faithful to us, and he wants us to know. He doesn't want us to be fearful about things. And concern and fear are two different things. Fear is tremendous, or fear is false evidence appearing real. Now, there are things that come to us or come in our way, or things that happen to us, and the sun opened the door on my foot, but it takes us. And it causes us to not be able to function, not be able to think. It causes us to be fearful. But they're false evidence. But God is saying that it's a gift. Hope is a gift. Let's ask God for hope. I've never prayed for hope before. But in this teaching, it said that hope is a gift. So we're going to ask God for that gift of hope. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak now that from this time forward, we will be asking you for hope, and we will be believing you for hope, for this precious gift of hope, in Jesus' name. The second thought is God has a plan. And this is from the scripture in Jeremiah 29:7. He says, no matter how it looks, he has a master plan that includes you through whatever you face. We are in this perilous time that we're living in now. We are facing some challenges that before we've never faced. We have things that are coming to us now that are fearful. We could be fearful, but God wants us to ask for the precious gift of hope, and he also wants us to know the Message Bible says, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. God already knows what we're going to go through. The enemy is standing on one side saying, I got you. I'm not letting you go. I'm going to cause you to fail. But it's not up to him. God is the one that's in control. And he says, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned. The third thought is, your great future is a gift too. Accept a great future as a gift, no matter what the present looks like now, to give you a future and a hope. God wants us to know that he has our future. He's been with us as walking through the disciples. It's just like the article or the everybody puts it on about the God carrying us, and when we see the footprints, when we see that, you know, there's some footprints and they're going steady and somebody's walking with us, and then the next time you see the footprints, they're kind of staggered and there's only one set of them. And at the end, the author says, you know, where were you, God? Where were you when I needed you? He was going through a valley situation. He was going through a time where he was being troubled on every side. He had been tested and tried. And God let him know that when you saw one footprint, those were mine. Those weren't even your feet. I was carrying you. He said, I have a future and a hope for you, and nobody can take it from you. The fourth thought is, be in the power of the Holy Ghost today. Romans 15:7 says, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace through believing that you may overflow by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, I say Holy Ghost, they say Holy Spirit now, but I just more power when I say Holy Ghost. So know that God said that he will fill you with joy and peace. Not that sometimes we're not going to cry, because we live in this world. There are challenges that come before us, but know that when we go through the challenge, cry your tears and come out of it. And that God is God is I'm sorry. God is in control. God is in control. The fifth thought is, give you some substance. Faith is the substance of being hoped for, and that's Hebrews 11. Stand on one promise from God's word today that gives you substance and makes your hope something show. Faith is the substance of being hoped for, the evidence of being seen. We may be able to see what is happening. We may not be able to see the end from the beginning, in the middle. We're in the middle. We can see. They say that I don't even see a light, a speck of light. I just see dark. But know that if we keep walking, we keep believing God, we keep asking God for things that we need to do, we trust in him, that he is going to bring us through. It's impossible to please God without faith. So we have to have faith in God. We have to know that he is going to work himself out. We have to read the Psalm years ago that don't wait until the battle's over. Shout now. We have to shout. That says to God, if you have children, they're going to through. They're going through what destroy them from going through it. Going through it.
Manifest your power and just manifest your glory in their lives and in their situation, that there will be no doubt that you are the God of their salvation. That ever future situations arise, that they will just know that they can count on you, that fear will no longer manifest in their hearts. How that hope will prevail in the lives of the people. And as we walk in that hope, then we know that we walk with you. In the name of Jesus, bless this ministry. Bless our evangelist ministry just worldwide in the name of Jesus. Let it grow into what you have. And we just thank you again for the word that we know. Prosper us and not harm us, but you cause us to call on you, to seek you, to find you, and to know that we have an answer to whatever opposition it is, because you are faithful and promise that you will supply every in the name of Jesus, that there be healing for those who are afflicted right now, that there be peace for those who are in turmoil right now. Lord God, let there be deliverance for those that are in trouble right now. Send that check in the mail. Hallelujah. Lord God, let something be just paid off miraculously. Let the heart of those debtors just cancel debt. We pray and declare this thing for your people. In the name of Jesus, addictions broken. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we declare and decree these things in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name for your people, and we just look forward to hearing the testimony of those lives this prayer and your word has touched. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, honey. Thank you, honey, for that prayer. Well, we've come to the end of another broadcast, and I don't know about you, but I have enjoyed it. I enjoyed Doris, our caller. I enjoyed Evangelist Bernard, and remember to call in or go online and listen to the rebroadcast of the ministry on this week. New Destiny Ministries, and God bless you in Jesus' name. And until next week, we say, we just want to praise you.